We appear to be batteryless on this one, so if you just excuse me while I swap the battery over.
Is that better? Shall we pray? Father God, I pray that you would take the faltering words from my lips, and by your Spirit and by your presence, you would speak your word of life into our hearts. Amen. Those of you that have managed to pick up copies of the new rota which is out, those who need it, those who are on the readers or the intercessors or the service leaders or the preacher's rota, will have noticed that there is a name mentioned on the rota today which isn't present in church, and that's Jackie. Because Jackie spent the last week working out what she was going to say this morning. She was supposed to be preaching this morning. However, last night and this morning, Joshua was being very, very sick. And yesterday afternoon and this morning, Jackie was croaking mildly through a dose of laryngitis. So on both counts, had it not been a communion service, she may have come and I might have stayed at home. And she may have come and preached and tried to battle through. But with it having been communion as well, we'd sort of thought about me coming for the first half and her coming for the first half and me coming for the second half, but that just gets too complicated. So we pray for Jackie that her voice would get better. We pray for Joshua that he would stop being sick soon. We pray for Joel that he wouldn't start. Over the next few weeks, not next Sunday, because it's baptism Sunday next Sunday, I want to do something different. Over the next few weeks, up until the summer holidays, we're going to be following through Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul is a consummate letter writer. Without him, we wouldn't have half of the theology that we have of understanding what God is like. Without the inspiration that God gave to St. Paul, we would have waited hundreds and hundreds of years for the councils of the church to finally make their minds up on some of the issues. It took them 450 years to decide whether Jesus was holy God and holy man at the same time. And actually, when you read Paul, I think Paul had worked that one out. So Paul writes lots of letters. Some letters are designed to encourage the church and to build it up. Some letters are designed to give the church a bit of a ticking off. I'm really glad I wasn't in the church at Corinth, because you read both letters to the Corinthians and you really feel like you've had your ear twanged by Paul. It's parts of Corinthians are a good clip round the ear. Ephesians, I think, is a wonderful book. It's almost wholly encouraging. And then you get to Galatians, and I flinch again when I get to Galatians. Because quite a lot of this is a real challenge to the church. Paul starts off, as any good letter writer does, by introducing himself. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Paul was well taught. That is the Greek equivalent of dear sir. You always have this sort of who it's from, who it's to, and a bit of something else. That's the introduction to any of the letters. You look at the other letters that Paul's written, most of them start in that way. Paul was a brilliant letter writer of his day. So he's got to pass the introduction. He said hello. He's prayed for them briefly. And now he goes on to what he really wants to talk to them about. Now, you have to remember, this is not like me sitting down in front of my computer and typing. I can type quite quickly these days. And then press the print button, out come three copies of the letter. This isn't like nipping down to Asda and buying a sheet of a pad of writing paper. Although I don't think I've ever written. I don't think in my adult life I've ever sat down with a sheet of writing paper and written a letter. Could be wrong. I remember writing those thank you letters after Christmas. My mum always made me write thank you letters to Auntie this and Auntie that. And it was wonderful. Is it Conqueror? I think my mum used to have that. It had that little watermark in it, the paper. It's not even like that. Writing letters was a costly thing. The papyrus they would have written on was costly. It took a long time to prepare. You know, you'd have someone, Paul probably had somebody called, and the posh word is an amanuensis, which is someone who writes things down for you. Because a bit later on, in, I think it's in this letter even, he said, see how I write clearly in my own hand, I write big. It was a big thing to write a letter. So he's got to get to the meat of what he wants to say quickly. And what's his first big point? I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Ouch. Say it as you think, Paul. You know, don't sort of back off from what you're trying to say. Paul is concerned for the church in Galatia. This church, we don't quite know when the church in Galatia was founded. It could have been on Paul's first missionary journey, or it could have been on Paul's second missionary journey. Because the lands have changed and the populations have changed, we're not entirely sure where Galatia is. It could have been further north, it could have been further south. Just about the only thing we're certain about with this letter is that Paul wrote it. Absolutely classic Paul. And that he wrote it in the midst of his missionary journeys. He's founded this church. He's established this church on the principles of grace, of God's unbelievable generosity in not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve. And he's gone away, he's left leaders in the church, and he's communicating with these churches by word of mouth and by these letters. And the reports he's getting from Galatia are not good. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which actually isn't a gospel at all. People are trying to twist God's words. They're trying to twist the church. They're trying to say, actually, you need to follow the rules. It's not about grace. It's about following the rules. It's about living your life the right way. And if you live your life the right way, then God will like you. That's what's being preached to the Galatians, Sunday by Sunday, day by day. Someone has got a really twisted idea about the gospel. Someone's preaching bad news. It's up to you. It's up to you how good you are. It's up to you whether God will actually like you or not. What does Paul say? Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached, let him be eternally condemned. Paul talks about his past history. Paul talks about his life in Judaism when he tried to make God like him by keeping the law, and talks about how futile that was. In coming weeks, we'll hear Paul's story of how he came to faith, how he came to be a preacher. His understanding about what it means to be a child of God. We'll talk about Abraham and Sarah and the promise that God made. Talk about us being children of promise, not of natural descent. He talks about freedom, and he talks about the life of the Spirit. Paul's got a lot he wants to talk to the Galatians about, and I think that's something we need to listen to as well. Not, I hope, that someone's been preaching a gospel other than the one that Paul preached. But because it's good to remind ourselves again and again, we can get caught up in this idea that actually it's what we do that matters. Our society tells us that. What do you do? I mean, it's a question I often ask people. What keeps you busy during the daytimes? Oh, I'm a top biochemical researcher finding cures for cancer. Wow, wait, yeah. What do you do? Oh, I work in the city. My bonus last year was bigger than the entire GDP of Uganda. What do you do? I sweep the streets. Ah. Our society tries to tell us that actually what we do defines who we are. But that's not what Paul's saying. Little visual aid. I need two volunteers. No, actually, no, I'm going to do this the way that my school teachers used to do this. Margaret, could you come out, please? And Dave, could I borrow you, please? Right. You'd like to stand on that side, Margaret. And Dave, you want to come and stand here? These are the two team captains, and we're going to pick teams. So So I'd like you to take it in turns. Margaret, you can go first, and then Dave, and you can pick teams. Thank you. You go and sit down here. Thank you, Dave. What was going through your head and through your heart at that moment? Who liked that when it happened at school? I've yet to find anybody who actually liked that. Who always was in the last two to be chosen? That wonderful, oh, sir. And I can remember who it was. There was a lad called Kevin, who was also known as Plug, and me. Oh, sir, there's only Plug and Gardner left. And the other one, looking at the other team captain, you have Plug and we'll have Gardner this time. And you, right. How wonderful a feeling that was. I mean, you know, I wasn't terribly good at games anyway. But I can remember, there was one day, and I still don't know why Mr. Clothier did it. Some of you may remember Neil Clothier from Adwick School. He picked Plug to be the team captain. I say it's a different Plug to the one we know, Kevin. He picked all of the people who get picked last. The first time I ever didn't get picked first. So there were three teams. There was a team of all the really, really sporty people. There was the team of all the people who were quite good at sports. And then there was me and Plug and all the others. What happened that day? We lost the first race. What a surprise. So what did Mr. Clothier make us do? He made us run a lap of the track as punishment. Surprisingly enough, we lost the second race as well because we were all tired because everyone else had had a rest. So what did Mr. Clothier make us do? We ran another lap of the track. It wasn't a good day. Felt like about 8 hours on that PE field. It was only 40 minutes for the lesson. Picking teams like that is one of the real mental scars of my time at school. And actually looking at your faces, one of the real mental scars of some of your time at school as well. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus chose you. You haven't earned that. I haven't earned that. Forgive me, but you don't deserve that. And neither do I. You haven't done anything that would make God love you more than he does. You can't. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. You can't do anything that would make God love you any less. Even when, I can say it now because he's not around to answer me back, even when Joshua is driving me absolutely round the bend, I still love him to bits. It doesn't make me love him any less. And if I, as an imperfect man, can love my children like that, how much more does God, who is perfect in his love, love his children? I, says God, have chosen you. When it comes to picking teams, God doesn't do it like that. He doesn't say at the end, oh, it's a choice between Joan and Bob. Which one shall I have? Oh, go on, you have Joan and I'll have Bob this time. It's not what God says. It's not how God behaves. I no longer call you slaves, Jesus said. Because slaves don't know their master's business. I call you friends. Because everything I've learnt from my Father I've made known to you. I have chosen you. It's the one thing that Paul wants the Galatians to know at the very start of the letter. It's tied up in all that he's saying. They're trying to believe a gospel that says you have to earn your way into God's favour. You have to work really hard. And if you work really hard and you go to lots of prayer meetings, and if you read your Bible every day religiously, and if you tell lots of people that you read your Bible every day religiously, and you mention the name of Jesus in absolutely every conversation, whether it's appropriate or not, then God might quite like you. And Paul says, I'm astonished. Why are you giving up the free gift of God's love and grace for something which is dead? This is not a gospel at all. It's not good news. If God's love for me depended on what I do, I'm doomed. God's love for you depended on what you could do, we're in deep trouble. But that is the good news, that actually it doesn't. God's love and his calling of you depends on one thing and one thing only, and that's God's love for you. He adores each and every one of you. See me with my little diary. The wallpaper on my diary, you probably can't see it. Who's that? Joshua and Joel. It's the modern equivalent of having it in your wallet. If God had one of these, your picture would be on there. And he would say to his friends, they're special. That's why I carry a picture of them around with me, because they're special. That's true for each and every one of us whom God has called and chosen. Paul says, you've heard of my previous way of life. I didn't always believe this. I persecuted the church. I was zealous for the traditions of my father. But God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. God called Paul. God showed Paul that trying to earn his way into God's favour was pointless. Actually, what he needed to do was to accept that free gift of grace again. He's using his own example to show the Galatians the truth of the gospel, which they turned away from. Throughout the rest of the letter, he's going to remind them how they're called and chosen by God. And I want to remind you again this morning that you, each and every one of you, are called and chosen by God. In all the different ways that he chooses and calls us, you are called and chosen. You are dearly beloved children of our Heavenly Father. And nothing that you can do can make him love you more. And nothing that you can do can make him love you less. So this week, when somebody is really, really annoying you, remember, I am a chosen and beloved child of God. My status with God doesn't depend on what other people think of me. This week, when you're feeling low because you forgot to read your Bible, we all forget to read our Bibles. Well, not all of us. Some of us are better than others. I'll land myself on the side of those who forget sometimes. It doesn't mean that God loves you any less. If you say you're going to pray for somebody and actually you do pray for them at first and then you forget, it doesn't mean that God loves you any less. If you remember to pray for them, it doesn't mean that God loves you any more. What it means is that you're a human being and you fail and that you fall and that you need to come back to God and ask him again to help you. It's a lifelong journey. But remember this, You are chosen by God. When it comes to picking teams, God picked you first. I know the analogy sort of falls down, but it's true. God picks you first. Why? Because he loves you and has loved you since before the creation of the world and will love you until eternity itself runs out. God loves you and has chosen you. Let nobody else preach a gospel other than that, for that truly is good news.